This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last week, Susan Ann Catherine Torres came into this world 13 weeks premature. She weighed 1 ounce, 13 ounces, and she was incredibly lucky. For the previous 3 months, her mother, Susan Torres, lay brain dead in a Virginia hospital. She was kept alive in the hope that her fetus might develop to the point of viability. Then the cancer that took the mother's life began to threaten the placenta. Susan Torres was taken off life support and died the day after her daughter was born. This strange and painful story seems unique, but medical records show at least a dozen similar cases over the past quarter century. Among them, Katie Garcia, who suffered a stroke early in her pregnancy. Her mother, Gail, decided to keep her daughter's body alive long enough to give the child a chance. Her grandson, Andrew, is now 6 years old. Gail Garcia joins us now from Farmington, Connecticut, and it's good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much for having me, Neil.
From a distance, this seems like it could be a very difficult choice.
It was very difficult during the time. Katie had her stroke in July of 98, and in November 5th, little Andy was born. He was 3.5 pounds, and Katie passed on the next day. But I was able to bring Andy home in the middle of January of 99, and he's very healthy. He does have some learning disabilities, but as far as his health, he's fine. He's fine.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Looking back, though, it had to be extremely difficult to know all of this was going on inside the lifeless body of your daughter.
Yeah, it was very difficult, but she was at UConn Medical Center, and I must say the ICU staff there was very comforting and very reassuring, and they were always there for me, especially there was a social worker there that was very reassuring, and I always felt comfortable when I went there, and they always talked to me and always let me know what was going on, and that's what I think what made it easier for me.
Did your friends and family support your decision?
My family did. I just have a mom and I have a brother, and they were very supportive. My mom was with me as much as she could. She's now passed on, but she was there with me. My son and my brother were there with me, too.
At a time like that, some difficult questions need to be asked. Was there somebody there willing to ask you difficult questions? Not necessarily trying to argue you into one side or the other.
No, but I didn't see that at all. What was very interesting was after she had the stroke, they sent her to UConn, and I met with a team of doctors at that time, and they had what they call an ethics meeting to decide if it was ethically correct to do this.
Mm-hmm.
After that meeting, they met with me the next day and asked me how I felt about it and if I would give my approval, which I did. I didn't have any second thoughts. I just felt this is something that my daughter really wanted, this child, and this is what she would have wanted.
We hear about you and obviously your daughter. What about Andy's father? Was he a part of this at all?
He was there, but because they were not legally married, the decision was left to me.
And is he a part of Andy's life today?
No, he passed on. He died 3 years ago. So I now have Antonio, the other son, who's 11, and I have Andy, who's 6, by myself. I know. And
wow.
I'm 53 years old, but you know what? It's okay. I'm doing it. It's okay.
Can I ask you what part, if any, did faith play in your decision?
What interesting part was that I wasn't sure if I was going to bring Andrew home. And I went to go see a priest at church and asked him, I said, you know, am I doing the right thing? And he looked at me and said, go with your heart and how you feel. And that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I just went with my heart and how I thought God would want me to do and what Katie wanted me to do. And that's how we live now. We live one day at a time and try to do the best that we can.
When one of these cases comes up almost inevitably, I mean, the situation is so painful and difficult. It gets a lot of coverage. How did you feel watching the Susan Torres story?
I felt very emotional. And I didn't email Mr. Torres directly. I did email. They have a fundraiser for the family. And I emailed the fundraiser just telling him that, you know, this happened to my daughter in 1998. I have a grandson now from this, and he's 6 years old. And you know what? It's going to be okay. It really is. You're going to be all right. Just, you know, you think it's really hard, but it's going to be all right.
There are at least a dozen other children in Andy's situation. Do we know much about them?
No, I don't. I had called Dr. Winston to see if a study had been done on these children, you know, how they were doing, and nothing has been done this at all on these children. I don't know of any other families.
So it might be helpful to have somebody check into what happens to these children,
yes,
after they're born.
I definitely agree, because, like, Andy does have some learning disabilities. And I just wonder, you know, are the other children having disabilities? Are they healthy? That's a very good point that you're making.
Gail Garcia, again, congratulations and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a good day, sir.
Gail Garcia is raising her grandson, Andrew, born after her daughter spent 16 weeks on life support, and joined us today from Farmington, Connecticut.